Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope, yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Great to be back for a mailbag episode. We'll preface this with that we are recording this on Tuesday, but we've got plenty of mailbag to get into. But we also have some breaking news to talk about, Matt. But before we do that, want to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this is exciting. Limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Matt, with that being said, we have breaking news. How you doing, first and foremost?
Jordan, what's up? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, as you said, we're recording our Wednesday mailbag on Tuesday, and right before we hopped on the mics here, Tuesday, a little afternoon Central Time, breaking news, first from Shams Charania. Giannis Antetokounmpo says he is signing a contract extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. The two-time MVP will sign a five-year, $228.2 million Supermax extension with the franchise, the largest deal in NBA history. And here is a quick breakdown of those annual salaries for Giannis in this new extension. 39.3, 42.5, 45.6, 48.8, and in the 25-26 NBA season, 51.9 million. Smackaroos for the two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously, first thought for Bulls fans is, well, crap. So much for that idea, right?
I don't make that kind of money to give it away.
Wow, man. That is unbelievable. Yes, like you and I said, even with all the storylines coming out the last few weeks, we were like, eh, if we can just push him to free agency, then we can get past the next hurdle of getting a meeting with him. He's staying. And I think the next thing I asked you off mic, I go, is does Milwaukee just say, fuck it? Even if he's frustrated in 2 years and wants to force his way out, fuck it, let's go try to get James Harden and pair those two together and basically have an empty roster after that. Do they do that, or is Giannis content with just staying and seeing how this Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton him works out this season?
I mean, who knows? Who knows what other dominoes will fall now that this domino is staying put, certainly at least for now. The other thing that you have to think about, as we're all wondering what's going on with James Harden, who you just brought up, is that, yes, technically, players under contract are under contract. And it used to be like, okay, well, a player on an expiring deal has leverage to be like, well, just to let y'all know, I'm not planning on re-signing. So if you want to, you know, trade me now, trade me. And then that has sort of grown as far as how soon before the end of a contract that kind of stuff happens, and that leverage exists for these superstar level players, because James Harden is a guy who has 2 years left on his deal and is acting like a guy who is not under contract. And there is a possibility that a few years from now, 2 years from now, if things don't get better in Milwaukee, if they're still not winning a championship, Giannis can say, I know I have these X amount of years left on my deal, but I want out. And superstar players who demand that they want out often get their way in one way or another. So while this doesn't mean that Giannis is necessarily staying in Milwaukee through the duration of this contract, it's certainly a big signal that at least in the immediate future, teams with eyes on him have to make other plans. You know, and I don't necessarily think that that includes the Bulls. I don't think the Bulls' plan was, okay, in 2021, we're getting Giannis. Obviously, if it were an option to get a meeting with him, if he were declining this Supermax extension and exploring his options a year from now, of course they would inquire. But, you know, the teams that are in more of a win-now mode, like you brought up Miami, those are the teams that now have to face the reality to say, all right, well, we're not getting Giannis anytime soon, so where do we go from here?
Chris Paul was making fun of James' man boobs in practice to the point that he broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices.
Fake tweets seem almost too real now in 2020, looking back 2 years from now. Like, that is a storyline that I could see a real possibility, but I'm with you, dude. Like, it, now we focus back in a matter of days, we'll find out whether or not Kawhi's going to sign his long-term extension. If that happens, man, that 2021 class doesn't look nearly the same that it did 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when we were talking about lining up the cap to have $40+ million to spend next year. I think it turns to AK and says, hey, okay, I'm going to get an idea through the first 30 games about what I think of this roster. Everything else I think is up for sale if it's not already. And I think that means that they're going to take plenty of calls on Markkanen. They're going to take plenty of calls on Zach. They're going to take plenty of calls on Wendell Carter Jr., Matt. So again, I think it goes back to the same theme that we're both coming to, is I don't think this is the front court of the future watching Markkanen and Carter play. And maybe that means going out and trading for, you know, whether it be a former all-star or a current all-star, to kind of facilitate and establish your offense with that playmaker. And you need that point guard that we've been talking about. So maybe that's the pursuit that the Bulls look for if they're looking to trade one or two pieces of this core away.
Yeah, and we know, because AK mentioned it, as far as the limited big move kind of stuff in free agency this year, you know, obviously just the one low-key signing if you're at Temple. AK mentioned cap space and maintaining that cap flexibility as a reason for the moves that they made and the moves that they haven't made yet. So we know that that has been on his mind, thinking a year down the road. But I think you're right in that that now absolutely means this season, which we already thought was about evaluating the current roster and figuring out what to do next, could involve huge changes, and maybe those changes even happening leading up to this season's trade deadline for AK to say, all right, I'm going to go out and acquire this player and I'm willing to give up, you know, this piece, and this piece to do it, because this once vaunted 2021 free agent class all of a sudden is not really there anymore. You know, there will still be some interesting names out there, but nothing like some of the stars who have now come off the books. I will add this, though. As much as it's tough for Bulls fans to swallow, who maybe had the, you know, the flowery dream of, you know, Giannis in a photoshopped Bulls jersey for the last couple of years. Let's get him to Chicago. Big market, quick move down from Milwaukee, great city, historic franchise, bring us back to glory. The more frustrating part for those of us who were living in reality this whole time and saw that as a real long shot is that, As glad as I am that Giannis is staying with his small market team and isn't, you know, jetting off to Miami to join Jimmy, because to hell with Miami, or he's not going out to L.A. and being, you know, reuniting uniting with one of the super teams out there, or even going down to Dallas and playing with Luka, which was another big talking point. Good for him for staying with his team. he's, you know, he's won some MVPs. He's gotten all these individual accolades, but he's fallen short of winning a title as he's reached the prime of his career. At this point in LeBron's career, he said to hell with that and bolted and went to Miami. So good for Giannis for staying. But for Bulls fans, the bigger bad news is that one of the best players, if not the best player in the league, is now still in your division and you have to play his team a million times a year. That's the part that really sucks.
Yeah, I think you put your focus now maybe even on two free agent classes ahead if you're still looking to sign somebody. But I think the easiest route to it, if AK can find something to happen, is through trade. Again, I will go back and say maybe you check back in with the Celtics on Kemba Walker. You check around the league for other places too. Maybe you like a young guy in pairing that with a vet to be able to deal. I'm thinking Ricky Rubio up with the Timberwolves too. If you're going to hang on to Zach LaVine, I would imagine he's going to be a trade piece towards the trade deadline if Minnesota's out of it completely from the playoffs, which that would be a disaster if they were. But there's quite a few teams that I think the Bulls can have conversations at the deadline if they do want to make a big splash and another Stark becomes available. Man, like, I'm already regretting saying I didn't want John Wall, but I didn't know that he looked like that. I honestly didn't know he looked like that, but he would have been a perfect piece even on that money. But yeah, that's where I sit with it, is like it shrinks the free agent class, even getting over the hurdle of the Bulls never really signing any massive free agent in their history. It's another hurdle with not having anything really to pick from in that 2021 class as far as top tier talent goes.
Yeah. So, you know, on to the next. We'll see what AK and his crew do from here. Jordan, we've got a lot of mailbag content to get to now with our listeners' reaction to the Bulls' first couple of preseason games against Houston. Before we do that, though, wanted to tell our listeners about Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? Well, there is. And if you have just 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Feeling overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Maybe you need help falling asleep. Headspace has wind-down sessions that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can start off your day right with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've been using Headspace for the last few weeks. I really not only enjoy it and find it useful with their wind-down stuff when I'm getting ready for bed, but also sometimes I'll do a little Headspace break towards the mid to late afternoon to help me kind of just clear my head and get ready for that last push to get through the rest of the day. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now, so get it while you can. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today.
I mean, who does New Orleans got? The other ball's playing there. Who's New Orleans coach?
They got Zach Williamson, and you're not getting him. Or Zion Williamson, excuse me.
All right, Matt, let's get to our text and voicemail line. 331-979-1369, the place to drop your text or voicemails. Let's go to the first voicemail. Matt, this is shortly after the game on Friday night. Reaction from one of our regulars in Will.
Hey, this is Will. And I just had to say that in the preseason game, per Billy Donovan, we got our asses kicked in. But despite the huge loss, or whatever you want to call it, this man talks basketball, and the conference that he had after the game was so delightful that even in a tough loss in the preseason, we got to hear a Chicago Bulls head coach talk to us and tell us exactly how he felt. And excuse me for being so excited after a abysmal performance, but I am very excited to hear that, and I have nothing but confidence in this, and that's all I wanted to hear, and that's all I wanted to say. And thank you guys for being on 5 days a week. Thanks again, guys.
That's a victory play that we run at the end of games.
Matt, we talked about this consistently throughout the entire first two games of the breakdowns, is that despite some of the bad play that we saw and despite some of the good play that we saw, we just heard encouraging things from Billy Donovan, and actually substance, like things that we can take away and say, hey, this is what they're looking at. Here's a specific example that he's giving to us, and just overall upbeat even after getting their asses kicked on Friday. And it showed when they turned around and had some fight and ended up pulling out a win on Sunday, even considering the fact of all the guys that had to sit out and the last minute lineup changes that they needed to make. But I'm with our caller here, man. It's so refreshing to hear a coach have some confidence even after admitting they got their asses kicked.
Yeah. But doing so in a way that's constructive and not destructive. Because we heard Boylan plenty of nights throw his players under the bus and put all of the blame on them. And it got real tired and real old pretty quickly because he wasn't making any adjustments. And he was, you know, so stubborn in insisting on playing the same way on both ends of the floor, even though it wasn't working, and would bristle when the media after a game and another frustrating loss, a blowout, or, you know, coughing up another, you know, crunch time close game, like, you know, that record that you were talking about a week or so ago, you know, 11-22 or whatever in those close crunch time games, to hear him say, how dare you suggest that I change? Look, it's working. Look at these. And we were all sitting here saying, no, it's not working. So, yeah, good for Billy Donovan for saying after Friday's game, yeah, we got our asses kicked, because they did. But then, as you and I kind of talked about breaking down their Sunday night game against Houston, which was a bounce back F and a win, they did things better and they did things differently. That's the part that didn't happen under Boylan.
100%, man. And like, again, they're going to have some growing pains to deal with too. And also, they're not 100% healthy again. It sounds like, yes, it sounds like the excuse we were giving for the last 3 years, but it is true. And it was night just to, despite all of that, we still saw them come back and show some fight on Sunday. So very, very good to hear. And I'm in agreement with our caller, man. It's just refreshing for once. So thanks for the call. You want to go to a text or you want to go to another voicemail, Matt?
Let's take this text real quick. Because this is something that I am concerned about. I think you and I talked a little bit breaking down their loss on Friday. This text from the 702 says, Wendell still can't catch. Scalabrine, help us. I think this is in reference to a problem that I have lamented with Wendell. You know, we talked about the fact that we were okay with him launching some threes because it's a preseason game and we're trying to get him to expand his offensive arsenal. And Billy was praising him for taking those open threes. And, you know, he goes, you know, he bricks everything. Okay, fine. The bigger problem for me with Wendell right now is that as a guy in pick and rolls or a big hanging out underneath the hoop for, you know, a dump off pass, like his hands, I don't know what's going on. Wendell seems to struggle just catching passes. And I don't know what it is, but it's driving me crazy. So our texter is not alone in feeling that way. Have you noticed this about Wendell?
Him and Chandler Hutchison, man. Like, Chandler Hutchison had butterfingers in that second game too. It was like every time he got the ball, he was like, it's almost like he was three steps ahead of where his body was in his mind. And it's like every time he got the ball, it's like, oh shit, is he going to turn it over here? Luckily enough, that didn't happen, but I'm with you too. It was a consistent theme last year even. It's like a lot of these guys thinking way too much. And I heard even Stacey King bring that up on the broadcast. And Benetti said, hey, these guys look a lot looser out there, just even in two preseason games, just look a lot looser than they did when I did some games last year and even watching them. And I think that's true in the pressure that it took coming in, night out, getting your ass kicked and finding a different way to lose in the fourth quarter. But also, too, is just like you're not thinking as much. You're just going out there and playing, reading and reacting. But that is a little concerning about Carter, and same thing with Hutchison. He's had that problem, so they need to clean that up. But for a big man, we definitely, if he wants to be a part of the passing game and really influenced in the offense, gotta hang tight to the ball and not turn it over.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know how we go about it's like I wanted to, after seeing Wendell struggle through this, through his first two NBA seasons, I had the urge to like tell Wendell to just spend his whole offseason with a jugs machine, like that, you know, what like wide receivers do for football. but just make a jugs machine with basketballs and just whip passes at that guy until he learns how to handle passes. Because some of it, you can say you got to put the ball in the right spot as you know, the guard or whoever it is making a play for the bigs, put them, you know, give them the ball where they want to catch the ball. So there is that element to it. And sometimes Wendell has not been given that benefit of, you know, a delivery in the right spot, but that certainly doesn't excuse all of it to me. I don't know what's going on, but the guy has just got to get better at handling those entry passes.
It's a good point, and I think, like, bringing this up, Carter spoke on Tuesday afternoon. One of the quotes tweeted out by Cody Westerlund from Carter was, like, on the new Bulls offense in general, he said, "My comfort level is really high, but my decision-making isn't the best." And it's nice to hear him admit that. I just want to see that change finally happening. We know Carter's one of the realest guys on this team, and he'll speak honestly, and he's not concerned about not speaking honestly. So it's good to hear that he understands that, and I know that. And if you've been paying attention at all, you know that he understands that. It's just going to be something that they're going to have to develop and get through this season. And it's one of many things for Carter to make sure he cleans up a part of his game. Matt, before we get into more voicemails and text messages, and you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Your texts and voicemails there. I want to tell our listeners quickly about Built Go. Been telling you guys about Built Go for the last couple of months now. It is the perfect replacement for 5-hour energy. If you're somebody who just needs that caffeine fix early in the morning or to get through the rest of your day, Built Go is the perfect replacement for that. It is the best workout gel on the market. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, breakthrough it with Go every day. It's an easy 1.5-ounce package that you take with you either through to get you through the day, like I said, or maybe to start your morning. It's like drinking a Monster Energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They come in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. So go to visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Matt, let's get into another voicemail here. This comes from the 773.
Hey, Jordan and Matt, Ellie from Chicago. I just finished watching that Bulls-Rockets game. I think the score was 102-87 or 102-90. I saw some promising stuff out of a couple players, just like Patrick Williams. He was not, I know he wasn't so efficient. He didn't make every shot, but the fact that he is not afraid to go up, like Lowry last year was afraid to go up. This year, Lowry, so far, the game I watched today, Lowry was trying to get to the hoop, cutting, dunking. Daniel Gafford, very physical. I saw some promising stuff from the Bulls roster. That was just my reaction to the game. You could say, go Bulls, and have a good one. Bye.
I think that's an excellent point, man. It's something that we talked about on Tuesday's episode, just kind of breaking down that second game, is just seeing the aggressiveness from Lowry attacking the basket, whether it be offense or defense, whether it be crashing the boards or having the ball in his hands. He's doing a lot more of that. We talked about the inconsistencies with his shooting. That's going to come around. I think that's just shaking off some rust. But it's good to see him not quit. And like you had said on yesterday's episode, contributing in other ways outside of scoring and not letting you hang your head for the rest of the game because a couple shots didn't fall down. So this is great by our caller, and I completely agree with him.
Yeah, because I mean, and like it's not like that's anything super new. You know, you hear coaches talk about that a lot, whether it's you know, star players who are known for their scoring having a rough night. And a recent example I think of is that video of Steve Kerr talking to Steph Curry that went viral, you know, a couple of seasons ago, where Steph came off the bench or, you know, came back to the bench after a rough stretch where, you know, he missed a bunch of shots, but Steve Kerr walked him through, hey, you did this and this and this, and that led to these good things happening. So it doesn't matter if you're missing your shots, you can still have a positive effect on the game while you're out there. Whether you're an MVP on a dynasty team like Steph Curry, or you're a 19-year-old rookie like Patrick Williams, or anyone in between, you cannot let a bad shooting night affect the rest of the things you do when you're out there on the court. And as frustrating as it has been to see some rough shooting nights from Lauri Markkanen, some inefficient shooting nights and inefficient offensive nights from Wendell Carter Jr., even Pat Williams, who had a rough start to his shooting on their Sunday night game, find other ways to contribute, because if you let that negativity creep in just because you missed your first few shots of the night, it will negatively affect the rest of your game. It'll negatively affect your focus. And eliminating that kind of stuff is key, because I think you and I and our listeners all saw what that did to this Bulls team last season. Just dejected faces everywhere. And especially on those nights where they got punched early and just never came back.
100%, man. And like, I even think about it, like he had brought up Patrick Williams real fast in that beginning of that call. I think getting back to the fearlessness that Lowry had in his rookie season, like I think about the most explosive dunk Lowry had in his rookie year against the Knicks. Remember when Fred Hoiberg said he damn near passed out when Lowry just absolutely hammered down a dunk? That's what Lowry's got to get back to. And I think Patrick Williams showed flashes of that too in just in the second game. Remember his damn near posterizing dunk in the second game. It didn't fall down and he shot free throws instead, but like that mentality needs to come back. And I don't know, we talked about it earlier this week about Lowry, but whether it's injury or just frustration with the last couple of seasons, whatever it may be, the aggressiveness was lost a little bit from him. I hope that comes back and maybe he picks it up and sees Patrick Williams having some fearlessness in himself. And same thing with Kobe White last year. I thought he was fearless for the most part too. So getting back that edge for Lowry, I think, is going to be very, very key.
I think so too. Jordan, let's take an email here. This comes to us from Joe in London. Hey guys, just wanted to drop a message after watching these two games against the Rockets. I'm really happy seeing the Bulls' improvement, especially on defense in game two. It's also nice to finally have a coach who can adapt and address problems. Especially impressed with Kobe. It's early days, but you can see him growing into that point guard role. Would love to hear your thoughts, and go Bulls. Thanks for checking in, Joe. Jordan, that's kind of what we were talking about just a second ago as far as the already noticeable difference between Boylan and Donovan. A coach watches what his team does in a game where they get the crap kicked out of them, and then in the very next game, you see differences in what that team is doing. The Bulls brought a better intensity and a better game plan defensively. The Bulls moved the ball a lot more, but guys were moving off the ball and the offense was, flowing a lot more assists across the board. They attacked the glass better on both ends, way better on Sunday than they did on Friday. So, yeah, evidence of a coach, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah, coaching. It's nice.
It really is, man. And we talked about it multiple times. We'll continue to talk about it as things progressive in the positive way is those second half adjustments, man. Those are so key. I'm looking for the Bulls second half, like what the Bulls played in that third and fourth quarter statistically. I remember it was brutal though last year. Like I can think of three games just off the top of my head. The Lakers coming back in their second half after being down 22 to beat the Bulls at home. There was the Charlotte Hornets game where the Bulls pretty much had them locked down going like 2-for-15 from three, and then they turn around and beat us on the road. Like things like that, there's so many games where you can pick out where the Bulls had a great game plan in that first half, never made any adjustments going into the second. That's why you saw so many brutal losses. So it's so nice to just see competent coaching for once.
And Joe's other point about Kobe and some of these noticeable improvements already in that point guard role, completely agree. I thought Kobe played better on Sunday than he did on Friday. Not to say he played poorly on Friday, but I think he even more so Sunday demonstrated that he is starting to gain more confidence in executing some of these half court sets. We know that Billy Donovan likes to do a lot of pick and roll, and we saw Kobe with a couple of absolute beauties in the pick and roll on Sunday night. He had one where he laid a perfectly placed bounce pass to Wendell. Wendell actually managed to corral that pass, going back to our other texture, and flush one home. And then also an equally beautiful slip screen from Lowry, and Kobe hit him with a beautiful pass for a flush. So encouraging signs with Kobe running that pick and roll.
Definitely. And it's just going to take some growing too. Like I already hear some people saying that they're out on Kobe being the point guard long term. It's like, really, after two preseason games and getting one start last year, it's like the patience level we want to have with Carter, we need to have the same patience level for Kobe in the playmaking role too. Carter in the scoring role, Kobe in the playmaking role. Have patience for both of those dudes. Kobe's only 20 and Carter's only 21. So again, like, yeah, I don't think we need to come to any crazy conclusions right away, especially on Kobe. It's just going to take some time. And the only thing that can help is Garrett Temple and Thomas Satoransky being an extremely good influence on him in terms of playmaking. Both of those guys are there for a reason. They brought Garrett Temple in because he can play make off the bench. So maybe Kobe can pick up some things from both of those guys this year. And also the Hall of Fame coach sitting on the bench in Maurice Cheeks.
Cheeks and Donovan, I think, will do wonders for Kobe, trying to, you know, get him up to speed on everything they're asking of him in just his second season running this team. While we're on that point, Jordan, real quick before we go to another voicemail, a text from the 309 with some concerns about Kobe on the other end. The 309 said, after watching Kobe attempt to guard John Wall, I'm slightly worried that defense will be a very big flaw in his game. Kobe lacks the size to guard in the post when he's back down, and that was very evident with how he was getting bullied down low. Is this something that should be worried about, talked about, or is this purely because John Wall was just doing John Wall things and dominating one-on-one? Jordan, we did see Kobe get, you know, his lunch stolen from him a couple of times by John Wall, who we, you know, both talked about earlier in the week, how impressive he was at his first NBA action in what feels like forever. Kobe picked up a couple of early fouls on John Wall, but Donovan stuck with him, and Kobe kind of self-corrected a little bit. Yes, he got cooked by Wall a couple of times, but you know, guess who else gets cooked by John Wall? Pretty much everybody in the league. I don't think our texter is completely off base to say that Kobe's defense is still somewhat of a concern. But I, you know, knowing the work ethic that Kobe has, I think he will be putting effort in every day, every week throughout his career to get better on that end. And I think he already, you know, you talk about our texter mentioned the size being an issue with Kobe in the post. For the most part, as far as guards in this league, I think Kobe's actually has the size to defend, maybe even defend some twos in addition to defending some ones. He'll get better. It's not a great part of his game right now, but he'll get better. What do you think about that?
And defense is a lot about effort too, Matt. And so I'm not concerned about Kobe's development on defense. And look, like, he's not going to be an all-NBA defender. He's not. It's just not going to happen. It's not in the cards. He doesn't have the size to do that. But I think his teammates can help him out. I know the specific play that they're talking about, too, that the texter is talking about. If you watch and go back to that replay, you watch Otto Porter and Patrick Williams pretty much turn around and just watch Kobe get back down to the basket and beat. That's what Stacey King and Billy Donovan have talked about multiple times, whether it be on the broadcast or after games, is the communication level needs to be increased. I don't care who it is, but somebody's got to communicate to one another. Is like, hey, you've got help here. Hey, you've got help on the left side. Hey, you've got help on the right side. Hey, I'm going to switch and double team. Those things need to consistently happen. So again, I don't expect Kobe to be a world beater in the paint, but he needs help from his teammates too. Again, I think it's going to be part of the adjustment and the development of all of these guys and working together and learning to play together is helping guys where they're weak in spots. And I think that's one. That was a perfect example. Is had Patrick Williams or Otto Porter came over and double teamed John Wall would have had to kick that ball out, or one of the two would have had to draw a foul on him. Either way, that wouldn't have looked as ugly had one of the two teammates helped out and rolled back to Kobe. But I'm not worried, man. I think defense is all about effort, and I have no concerns about Kobe, and I don't have high expectations for him to be some world beater on defensive side of the ball. If he can be average or slightly above average and stay in front of guards and just not be the eyesore in that starting five, we're good.
Yeah, and I think you also have to think about bigger picture when it comes to the defense for this team this season, and not just worry about, oh, you know, Kobe's not a great defender, Zach's not a great defender. you know, we heard from his teammates at the beginning of training camp, you know, what have you noticed about Kobe? And everybody has said way more vocal in year two than he was as a rookie, which makes sense. As a rookie, you know, you're there to learn and you're there to soak up information and not necessarily trying to, you know, become the team's vocal leader right out of the gate as a 19-year-old rookie, but that everybody has said Kobe's talking a lot more. Lowry kind of even joked about it in a way that was like, yeah, he's talking a hell of a lot more now. That's certainly good. And Donovan talked about the importance of Kobe becoming more of a vocal floor general, helping him, you know, take that role as the primary ball handler and the lead point guard, and how being vocal is important in that element. It's just as important on the defensive end. So like you were saying, whether it's Kobe, you know, being a vocal leader on defense, or also guys on the back, you know, the backside and the weak side of the defense, calling out screens, giving Kobe or whoever, you know, is up there trying to defend the lead guard, you know, helping them by calling out screens and things like that. We're also going to see a different defense. You know, I think I've already seen some positive signs from the Bulls in their first two games, just as far as switching more on screens, going into more drop coverage looks as opposed to, you know, over blitzing. Because, like, you know, would Kobe have benefited from getting some more double team help and you know, trying to trap John Wall when he crosses the half court line in some of these games on Friday and Sunday? Yeah, maybe a little bit. But guess what? John Wall is a savvy veteran point guard who, you know, with ease, with probably one hand tied behind his back, could pass out of that trap and get one of his teammates, you know, a wide open corner three or a wide open look at the rim. So it's a give and take with that kind of defensive stuff. I think the defensive strength of the team and some of these players that we're going to be hopefully seeing get good minutes backing up the first line of defense with the guards, you know, like Otto Porter, like the rookie Patrick Williams. And then, of course, the bigs protecting the rim will help compensate for some of those individual weaknesses on defense for Kobe and Zach.
I hope they're not trapping at the half court line, because if they're doing that, then they're playing Boylan's system again, and they're not learning to play the drop coverage like Billy Donovan's asking. And like, at times they're going to do that, but I'm with you. I just say stay patient. And again, it's part of learning that drop coverage too, because Kobe fought through a screen and then stayed with John Wall, but then it was one-on-one action in the paint with him and Kobe, and it's game over for 90%. Game over for Kobe for 90% of his matchups, and that's just because of height again. And John Wall is so crafty around the rim. But again, yeah, it's just going to come down to development and learning a new system, and it's going to take a little bit of time to develop. But we're already seeing the great things that can come out of a Billy Donovan and just a refreshed system, is that second half adjustments, actually going out there and not giving up when you're down 10 or 12 points and fighting back, even against a really, really good Rockets team. For the most part, they had most of their starters out for decent minutes, but towards the end, where I think the Rockets scored 12 points in that final fourth quarter, they had their third squad out there, so I can't give too much into that. But it's a great point by our texter to point out about Kobe, and it's going to be a continued discussion that we're going to have, Matt, for the next, I wouldn't even say several months, I would say several years, as Kobe stays with this team and continues to try to develop his game. All right, well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again for your text messages, your voicemails. Anything you got for us, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Try to get to some more mailbag questions later in the week, but continue to file those in if you've got anything on your minds, whether it be 3 a.m., 11 a.m., after dinner at 6 p.m., whether you're at work, doesn't matter. We're open for your thoughts 24/7, 365. So 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com